Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so let's hold our hands and say, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive clarity from your word today. As we look into the world, we see Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified in our midst, and we are edified in this service today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, we are starting off a preaching series that will take us weeks. When I mean weeks, I mean weeks. Give me some minutes. They'll take us, this is July, right? It will take us about 12 to 13 weeks. Hallelujah. And that means that we will not even complete it. Hallelujah. Minimum I wanted to take should be 21, but because we are having CRC and then we need to have Holy Ghost meeting. At some point I will do a shifting, I will have to shift this teaching to Saturday so we can accommodate other things as we get prepared for CRC and workers' convention in the course of it. But this will take us a whole lot of time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the teaching is on the new creation realities and its relationships. Hallelujah. Not its relationships and its relationships. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The new creation realities and its relationships. Amen. So you can check my Facebook post on it. What we want to achieve. Glory to God. How to have a wonderful relationship in every walks of life that we find ourselves. Glory to God. But let's start off from Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Naomi. Matthew 28. From verses 18. As we used to. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. So we said, this will be Matthew's summary. As we said, this is Matthew's summary of Jesus' instructions during the 40 days. During the 40 days of teaching. Luke will say he taught for 40 days after Apostles chapter 1 verse 3. Hallelujah. He taught for 40 days. So this will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus asked them to do. Hallelujah. Remember, why we always read this is because this is the instruction upon which the book of Epistles is what is founded on. Hallelujah. So he said, Matthew will call it make disciples. That instruction, he will summarize it as make disciples. Mark 16. Look at how Mark will put it. Mark 16, verses 15. If I look at verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 and sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had arisen. So this will be the 40 days teaching. Hallelujah. That was how Mark would summarize the 40 days. So he taught them. Now verse 15, the instruction, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe will be condemned. The early signs shall follow them who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. And then they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Said they will lay hands on the sick will recover. Glory to God. So Mark will summarize that instruction as to what, go preach the gospel. Right? Right? Matthew will say, make disciples. Mark will say, what? Go preach the gospel. So Mark's focus is on how that one is enrolled into what? Discipleship. Right? It says, go make disciples. Matthew, go preach the gospel. So go preach the gospel will be how you become a disciple. Hallelujah. Luke and John were were detailed, but Luke was much more detailed to me. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24 of the same instruction. Luke 24, 25, 27. He met two of his disciples within the 40 days, Cleopas, on their way to Emmaus. And verse 25, and he said to them, and they began to have a conversation, and Jesus joined in the conversation and said to them, "Oh, fools and trolls and slobber to believe in all the prophets that spoken because of their unbelief." Hallelujah. And he said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer the sins to enter into his glory? Is it beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 44, a larger audience. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened ye their understanding of your teaching, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Luke shows us that the instruction will proceed from the teaching. So it was Luke that showed us that he taught. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. John will say he came to them and he breathed on them. John 20:21. See, he breathed on them. And then he then gave them the instruction, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Say, "Whosoever sins here remits is remitted. And whosoever here retains is retained." Did you get that? Hallelujah. I want you to see that closely. So when he said he breathed on them, John will be what? That instruction. That will be that teaching within the 40 days, right? To cause a quickening from inside. And when you read Luke brings that out to us in verses 33. When he was done with Cleopas and the other person, he says, verses 32, he says, and he said to one another, "Didn't our heart burn within us?" Did you see that? And to sow. Our heart burn to open from within. Did you see that? To quicken from within, rather. Did our heart burn within us? In verse 44, and in verse 45, he said, and he opened he their understanding. Dialogue. You see that? That they might comprehend tsunami. To read scriptures together. The scriptures. Hallelujah. So they could now see everything together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Luke makes us see that what the teaching will flow from where? I mean, the instruction will flow from the 40 days teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 25 and verse 44. He says, beginning at Moses. Beginning at Moses. At Caimo's house. Hallelujah. So that means, listen. Luke makes us see that Jesus started his teaching from Moses into all the prophets. That is the 39 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, like that. So he started his teaching from Moses into all the other 39 books. And in verse 44, he said the same thing. He says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." He said that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. So what they call the 39 books, what we call Old Testament today, in their days is called what? The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Are you following me? Right? That's what they call. So he says he taught them. So in verse 34, he followed the same pattern again. Are you following me? From where? From Moses. And it makes you see that that is how Jesus taught. He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." So that means how Jesus taught pre-crucifixion before he went to the cross and during the resurrection will be the same. Hallelujah. They will be the same. How he taught will be the same way from Moses, and they will stand together. Are you following me? How he taught will be the same and what he taught will be together. That is, they will not be different. He will teach the same thing. Hallelujah. He will teach the same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he says, beginning at Moses, at Caimo's house, he shows us that Moses is the vocabulary of scriptures. Beginning at Moses, Moses becomes the vocabulary of scriptures. Moses becomes the foundation of what every writer or minister or prophet after him would write and prophesy about. Every writer of scripture, every prophet will write from Moses, beginning at Moses, carrying Moses else. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses becomes the model for writing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they will write and prophesy from him. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. So that means everyone would reference Moses. In Matthew 19:4, they came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. And when they came to him, they asked him in verses 3, the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read? He said, he who made them from the beginning. When he says made them from the beginning, he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. Where would you find that? You will find that in Genesis chapter 1. Are you following me? Genesis chapter 1, from verses 26 to 28. So Jesus didn't just go to Genesis 1, 26 to 28. No, he said, he who made them at the beginning. Remember, during our teaching on understanding the gospel, which everybody is going to listen to this week. Hallelujah. Now, during our teaching on understanding the gospel, I showed us that when he says, made them at the beginning, made them male and female, he was not just quoting a verse. Right? He read from Genesis 1:1. When he said beginning, he went to Genesis 1 in the beginning. Are you following me? So what Matthew will write will be a summary. Remember I said they wrote in what? They wrote in shorthand. Right? They wrote in shorthand. So that will be a shorthand for Genesis 1 into 2. Glory to God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it says beginning, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female. Then for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That is Genesis 2. So that means Jesus read Genesis 1 into Genesis 2. Glory to God for them. Are you following me? Are you following me? So Jesus, in answering them the question of their day, which is the question concerning marriage, he will answer it from where? Genesis. He will start from Moses. Glory to God. He will go back to Moses to answer them. In chapter 22 of that same Matthew, they came to meet him in verse 31. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They came to meet him concerning the resurrection. Resurrection. Verse 23, let's look at 23. And the same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, teacher, Moses said if a man dies and hath no child, his brother should marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Is Moses giving them a tradition? And they said, okay, what is the brother died? That is stupidity. The brother died and no child. So they now pass the woman to the seventh wife, to the seventh brother. Say, in the resurrection, they're just trying to get at you. Because one of their doctrine as a Sadducee is that they don't believe in resurrection. That's crazy, you know, in the resurrection. So now, it's something, I didn't say a word, I didn't say some things concerning it today, but it's something I'm yet going to show you when we get to what? Where I will teach us next year. Hallelujah. Something I wanted to see next year. Hallelujah. Because where did they get that? There's no resurrection from. Come on. Well, what did they have as their scriptures? The 39 books. That means when you read the 39 books together, it talks about the resurrection. But we'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So they believe that there's no resurrection. So they now want to argue that case with Jesus. And again, I'm like, okay, in the resurrection, mockery, whose wife will it be? This is that, seeing that the seven of them had it. And Jesus answered. How did Jesus answer it? Look at how Jesus did. Verse 29, and Jesus answered, you are mistaken, not knowing the scripture, not the power of God. For in the resurrection, they are neither married or given to marriage, but are like angels in heaven. For concerning the resurrection from the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Come on here. Where do you find that? In Moses. Are you following me? It was Moses that wrote it. So when, okay, something I'm just going to show us is this. When he said, I am, when Jesus replied them, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know those Moses that said that in the Exodus? And Moses said that and wrote to them the Genesis. So that means what Jesus is saying to them is, have you not read the book of Genesis? Hallelujah, because that is where you find the proof of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's telling them, go back and read Genesis. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Are you following me? Are you following that? Go back and read Genesis. Read what Moses wrote to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. He goes back to Moses again. After he was done dealing with them, the Pharisees heard that they dealt with their stepbrother. And they came quickly. And they said, I said it that their doctrine, no, their doctrine is not powerful. Let's go. We are Christocentric. Let's go and deal with it. Hallelujah, they came. Now, we are masters of the law. And I said, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Okay, and Jesus was, how did Jesus respond to them? He took them back to Genesis. He took them back to Moses. Hallelujah. Took them back to Moses in verse 37. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Did you see that? Deuteronomy chapter 6. He took them back to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Took them back to Moses. Hallelujah. That shows you Moses is the beginning of writing the scriptures. Hallelujah. I believe everyone will reference Moses. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Let's see Peter. Peter is teaching now. Let's see Peter's teaching in Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 23. You know, after the Holy Ghost meeting, then they gather to him and say, and be delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You are taken by your lawless hand and crucified and put to death. Hallelujah. When you use the word foreknowledge of God, we've done this study before. When you use the word foreknowledge of God, he goes back to Moses. You see that? He goes back to the beginning. Foreknowledge of God. That is to say, he's saying, he goes to Moses to say, Jesus who has been given to the hands of wicked men was spoken of by Moses. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That Moses spoke about him being delivered towards the wicked hands of men. Look at Exodus chapter 33. You see? What verse is 18? Moses wrote concerning it. He says, when he says, show me your glory, he says, you've not yet seen my glory. But you do what? You will see a Pharaoh. Hallelujah. So he saw and he wrote about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now we'll be the reason for the temple, right? The prefiguring of the temple, the use of the word heaven and earth, that God will be given to the word lawless hands of men. I follow you. And Jesus in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to the lawless hands of men. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. Did you do this study during understanding the gospel? Okay, so you have to listen to that message now. Glory to God. Glory to God. When he says, look at that Exodus chapter 3, he says, show me your glory. That is the word in the Hebrew, kabod. Show me your glory. Look at Exodus chapter 3 quickly. You just saw miracle signs and wonders. Verses 9. When Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses. They saw miracle signs and wonders. And yet in verse 18, Moses answered, and he said, Moses, he said, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. Kabod in the Hebrew, a word in the Greek that is called doxa, which implies, God, I want to see you as a man.
That is what Moses is saying. When he says, show me your glory. Kaphor is used for what one's possession, what one has accomplished. So he says, I want to see you as a man. Remember before now, God has told him, I am that I am. That is, I will be a man. You see that? So he said, Lord, show me yourself as a man. You see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which John, John 1:14 will say, I will beheld his glory. So that means that glory that Moses wanted to see is God in mind. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, what did God not say? You shall not yet see my glory, for no one yet sees my face and not live. That is when you see his face. When you hear the word face, panim, it means the resurrection. Hallelujah. Panim, a resurrection from the dead. So when you see my face, you will come alive. Shai. Are you following me? So listen, when man sees his face, so he says, you shall not yet see it. Are you following me? Hallelujah. But he says, you will write about it. Glory to God. You write about it. Remember, those of us who went to Sunday school were told God now used his hand to cover Moses' face. He said, you know, so you see my backpack. Oh yeah, see, I'm wearing Sir Ronaldo. Oh yeah, see. I'm not wearing Messi. Rude child. Hallelujah. I'm wearing Sir Ronaldo. Seven. Perfection. Ten. No ten. Ten. Ram. And I didn't say anything. You know what's called Ram?
Glory to God. So Moses will write about God in man.
Hallelujah. Are you following the way we're looking at this? Yeah? We're looking at Genesis and Exodus. I hope you can see how we're going. Remember, I've told you that what the background of Exodus is what? Genesis. Background of Genesis is what? Exodus. So you must read them together. Hallelujah. So Moses will write about God. Incarnation. So when you get to Genesis 3:15, are you following me? When you get to Genesis 3:15, when man received the judgment for unbelief, God spoke redemption, right? He said, the seed. You know who's writing it? Moses is writing it. Are you following me? So Moses now spoke about the seed of the woman. Hallelujah. The seed of the woman. That will be what? Moses speaking of Jesus delivered to the wicked hands of men. Hallelujah. But yet what the seed of the woman? It means there will be an incarnation. God will be given to man. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Peter again. Acts 3. Hope you are following me. Amen. Don't forget what we are looking at. New creation reality and relationship. Amen. Acts 3. Are you there? Okay. If you're there, I will. Verse 22. It is for Moses truly said to the Father, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me for your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you. He's reading Moses here. And in addressing them, he said Moses spoke of a prophet like him, like himself. Who is that prophet? He's talking about God will send Jesus. Hallelujah. He's referring to who? Jesus. Are you following me? When Moses said that, he was referring to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15. Moses said that. And when he said a prophet like me, he was talking to about Jesus. Hallelujah. So when he says him, look at what he said. He said, him you shall hear in all things. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. You shall hear. When he says you shall hear, will imply he will speak, right? He will teach, showing you that a prophet will be recognized by what?
what he said. What he said.
Hallelujah. A prophet will not be recognized. I'll show you something else next week. A prophet will not be recognized by miracles, signs, and wonders. No. He will be recognized first. Not by the miracles he did. No. Because miracles are signs. He will be recognized first by what he says. By what he teaches. Are you hearing me? That's why I love the man of God that just prophesies. He doesn't spend time to teach. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say more. He just say, this week is your week. And you'll receive. It's your week. Everybody shout, amen. It's your week. Amen. You will buy 2 cars. Amen. And your salary is 30,000. This week. Should I prophesy? The prophesy, sir. That's all you did for 2 hours service. Prophesy, sir. It's a week. It's a week. It's a week. It's a week.
I'm not saying.
Every day, every Sunday. It's a week, Israel. It's a week, Israel. It's a week, Israel. And our time say, well, I love the pastor because he has power. He just be coming like that, you know, demons just tremble. He's just going to just give us powerful song. Demons tremble at your presence. And then they get to a demon. He said, hey, what is this? We are seven. It's powerful. It's a powerful man of God. But what does he say about Jesus? He just demonstrates Jesus' power.
A prophet is known first by what he said. He said, him you will hear. You will what? Hear.
Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what he says concerning the gospel. Look at Luke 24:25. Again, we'll go back. He says, oh, fools of heart, to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Not the miracle signs and wonders. What they have spoken of not the Christ. We're going to see something. I'm going to show you something next week. I don't want to jump the gun. But what was it said concerning who you call a prophet? Which prophet you should listen to and who you should not listen to? Are you following me? Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Amen.
So, he said, all not the Christ to suffer. So their testimony is concerning what God will do in the redemption. Are you hearing me? In verse 44, he says, these are the words that I spoke to you. Well, I was yet to say that all things must be fulfilled which were written. So what was written was first of all spoken. Hallelujah. What was written was first of all spoken. Look at Acts 19. We have in Acts 19, there is a prophet. And the name of the prophet is John. Look at verses 4. Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying. So John being a prophet, is not a prophet by what he did, but by what he said. Did you that? Saying. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you hear the word prophet, it's the word from the Hebrew, Nabal. It implies to speak on behalf of. To speak. So a prophet is known by what he says about God. What he said about God. And what he said will be teaching. So it becomes insane when you say a preacher or a prophet is not one who teaches. So say, I'm a prophet, I'm not a teacher. You don't know what you're saying. Are you following me? You don't know what you're saying. Because a prophet is first a teacher. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin will say that. I've heard it over and over again from Pastor Shepard. Hallelujah. A prophet is first a teacher. First a teacher. Let us see what you've done. Not SMS. Short message sermon. 3 times sermon. That's how I was sipping my tea. The Lord said, tell my people they are free. So I'm teaching free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. One day, someone invited me to see a minister. This man knows the word.
Maybe somewhere out there, when the time is right. Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So look at verse 24 of that Acts 3. Acts 3. Look at 24. We started 23. He said, yes, and all prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken also foretold these days. As many as have spoken. Hallelujah. So they spoke about the same thing. Did that? They spoke about the same thing that Moses has written on. Are you following me? So if you see everybody following who? Moses. Are you seeing that? Is it just Jesus and the apostles? Don't look at, he said, every other prophet who has spoken of the same thing. Did you see that? Every other prophet. So everybody aligns with what Moses has written. Look at Acts 28. Let's see Acts 28. This is Paul. Right? In verse 23, Paul, he says, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained solemnly, testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from where? Both from where? Come on, are you not there? Acts 28, verse 23, it says, persuading them from where? Out of where? Come on, are you not seeing that in your Bible? From where? Law of Moses. And all the prophets from morning till evening. Moses and all the prophets. You see that? Hallelujah. So Paul will follow the same pattern from Moses too. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? In Romans 1, just after that, Romans 1, say, I, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophet in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ. It says, which he promised before through his prophets. So, Paul opens his writing with the fact that the prophet, would that include Moses? Yes, we just read that. Right? A prophet like me, so Moses is a prophet. So Moses wrote about the gospel of God concerning Christ from the beginning. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get to John 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's coming from the Genesis. Are you following that? He's writing again from the Genesis. Hope you are following me. So John 2 will start his writing from the Genesis, showing you that Moses gives us the vocabulary of scriptures. Moses. So when they tell you, some say, no, we are New Testament. Moses is Old Testament. Moses is God. You don't talk about Moses in the church. No. Even everything Jesus said after his resurrection, he quoted Moses. Are you saying that? So Moses, some people will say, Moses, my servant, is dead. That is, they are reading Joshua. And they're telling you, Moses is dead, so forget Moses. Even that instruction to Joshua was an instruction to Moses. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stop saying nonsense. Glory to God. Well, yes, someone say, I just said, stop saying nonsense. Because you don't know anything. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let's look at Jesus in John 5, verse 45. We'll begin to drive home where we're going to today. We're not yet there, or we're getting there. John 5, 45. Come on. Are you there? He says, do you not think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you. He said, Moses in whom you trust. Say, if you believe Moses, you believe before he wrote concerning me. Said, if you don't believe his writings, how would you believe my words? That debunks a whole lot of nonsense to say concerning Moses is gone. Say, if you don't believe my words, you can't believe Moses. If you don't believe Moses, you don't believe me, because he was concerning me. Hallelujah. So, that means, Moses, when he said Moses wrote of me, he means wrote concerning my work in salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means, within Moses' writings, when we're together, or when you read them together, you will see Jesus' work in salvation written of by Moses. So when he says, there is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you trust. But isn't that what Moses accuses you? He's not saying, he's not trying to paint Moses bad. No, but he's saying, what he's saying is not that Moses is bad, Moses is the accuser of brethren. No. What he's saying is that Moses, or what he's saying is that he himself as Jesus, is not saying any accusation new. He's not saying any new accusation to you. That's what he's saying. He said, I, Jesus, just like I said, I am not going to accuse you anymore. Are you hearing me? I'm not giving you a new accusation. The accusation that you, that there's already an accusation written for your unbelief. That's what he's saying. Say, do not think I will accuse you. That is, do not think I will give you any new accusation for all this nonsense you're doing. No? So there's one who has accused you already. He has written it. Say, Moses, in whom you say you trust. Say, Moses has written on this accusation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Moses has written already for, I mean, Moses has written it already. The accusation for disobedience. So, Moses wrote of Jesus. I mean, Moses will write of what Jesus will do in the redemption, and he will write of the rights concerning the consequences of not believing in what Jesus has done. So Moses wrote this, and he wrote it, everything together for you to see. He wrote about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's writing for Moses. Or he's speaking for Moses. She will not perish. That means that word perish, you know, that is an accusation. Right? And he said, I'm not writing a new one. So Moses has written this perishing. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Quickly. Deuteronomy 30. Are you following me? Moses has written the accusation for unbelief. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Hope you are flowing together. Deuteronomy 30. Amen. Rush through. Verse 6. Let's look at 6. Then the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all that you may live. Is this his work of redemption? Is this his work of redemption? Right? Right? Then look at the consequence of not believing. Verse 18. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. Is that what Jesus is reading from John 3:16? Yes. You shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go to and possess. How? Why? Verse 17. If you turn your heart away, that you do not hear, or are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Unbelief. He said, what will happen? You will perish. He gave it only because so that whosoever believe shall not perish. You see, where Jesus reading from? He's reading Moses to them. Hallelujah. So, I checked out that word perish. Perish. So, that word perish also becomes the accusation for unbelief, right? So that word perish, in the Greek is the word apolomai. It means to be lost. To be lost. From the Hebrew word, abad, which implies to wander away. To wander away. So, when you have to wander away, your mind goes back to who? Your mind goes back to Cain. Did you see Cain? So, remember I told you that Cain's issue was not, his direct issue was not him killing Abel, but his direct issue was unbelief, right? Right? So the unbelief now caused the killing. Are you following me? So it's unbelief that led to what him killing Abel. Now, listen to this. So, when that happened, listen, what did God do? Bible says he was sent out of where? The Garden of Eden. Right? Right? He was sent out of the Garden of Eden to be a wanderer. Right? Now the Garden of Eden would signify what? Come on. The presence of God. Did you see that? The presence of God. So when he sent him out, the same way he sent Adam and Eve out,
because of what unbelief. Right? So the Garden of Eden becomes a figure of speech to talk about God's presence. So away from God's presence, Adam and Eve left for unbelief, came to left, was sent away from God's presence. And Cain said what? You've made me see, you've made me a wanderer. Did you see that? Perish. Did you see that? You have to look at how Moses writes. Glory to God. So when Moses writes Cain, and he see him leave the Garden of Eden, it's not his living grass, no, he's leaving the presence of God. Are you following me? He has left the presence of God. I thought Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. How come we now find Cain now living? To make you know that Moses was writing figuratively, using the garden as a figure of speech. Are you following me? Are you following that? Are you following that? That is away from the presence of God. Perishing. To be lost. To be a wanderer. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, listen. To be a wanderer, to be lost, to be destroyed. That is the word. Abad. So when Jesus reads Moses and says, if you read John 3:16 in context, which we're going to do shortly, when he uses the word perishing, it's to be without God's life. We're going to see that shortly. It's going to be, when it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shouldn't perish but should have eternal life. So that means the perishing there is to have, not to have eternal life. Did you see that? Away from God's presence. God's presence is his life. God's spirit is his life. We'll see that soon. Hallelujah. God's spirit is his life. So the perishing is to be what? Without God's spirit. To be without God's presence. To be without God's life. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. In John 3, verse 34, John the Baptist will call it something. Look at what John the Baptist will call it. John 3, 34. Quickly, let's watch through John 3, 34. Verse 34. It says, for he whom God hath sent speaks the word of God, for God does not give him his spirit by measure. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It says, for the Father loves the Son and gives all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Did you see that? He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Did you see that? He said, does not see life. What happens? The wrath of God. So that means, not to have eternal life is to have the wrath of God. Is that condemnation? Yes. So where will John the Baptist be writing from? Moses. Are you following me? He's giving that interpretation to Moses. That is the wrath of God. Away from God's presence. To be without God. To be without God's life. The wrath of God is to be without God's life. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus wasn't saying anything new. Can you see that? What Jesus said in John 3:16, was this something new? No. Wasn't anything new. He's reading Moses, the Psalms and the prophets. And he's properly explaining them. Are you seeing that? That's what he's talking. Glory to God. Are you following me? Yes, yeah, let's get back to our theme scripture, Matthew 28. That's what we left from. So, it says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go make disciples. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and Lord, with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. Did you know everything we've just done? We're just explaining that first, that instruction. Hallelujah. Go make this. That's what led us into all this. Hallelujah. So Jesus' instruction is that we do his disciples, right? And in doing so, how did he say we should raise disciples? Verse 20. He said, teaching them. Teaching them, right? To observe all whatsoever I have commanded you. So, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So,
In discipleship, we are taught or teaching them, or we are taught to observe what Jesus has accomplished. Now, speaking to the disciples in Matthew 28, when he said, teaching them to observe what I have accomplished.
Would that be the same thing with what I have commanded you?
Yes. What I have accomplished, which will be what? What he has commanded. What he has commanded concerning what? The resurrection. What have we read in Luke? Resurrection, right? Hallelujah. What concerning the resurrection? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Then now says, lo, I am.
He says, lo, I am with you. Now when you use the word lo, I am with you, remember we said that word I am is the proper name, right? It's the verb that is the proper name. So when it says, and lo, I am is with you, this becomes the fact of the resurrection. This is what they should be taught. They teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I am with you. Did you see that? So it's a proper name that he is with them. So that I am with you is a fact of the resurrection, the indwelling. Therefore, the indwelling, as we would yet see shortly, will be the fact of the resurrection. It will be the fact of the resurrection. So let's see what Jesus commanded them, instructed them concerning what he has accomplished. What has he just accomplished? The resurrection, right? Let's see what he has taught them. What commandment did he give to them? That word commandment, remember I said that word would also imply teaching, instruction, right? 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 Concerning what he has accomplished, the resurrection. So we're going to take time to look at it from John today. John. What he has commanded. So this becomes the fact of the resurrection. Hallelujah. The fact of the resurrection. That will not, the fact of the resurrection is our reality. Glory to God. By looking at it. Really, man. The new creation reality. Hallelujah. So John. John 1. Okay, we'll get to John 1 shortly. Let's get to John 2 quickly. Now, John writes and he shows us Jesus in a wedding. Say, wow, Jesus attended a wedding, you can see for yourself. Question, did he dance in the wedding? Go and ask him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Last week some people saw some pastors bring out like, Pastor Andrea, take care. So the pastor is not evil. They are rigid. The only thing pastor knows is how to pray. Wait until you see your pastor play game. John 2. Or see your pastor support demons. Demons. Are you surprised? Well, your pastor supporting devils. They say they are Manchester United. That sounds like the name of a demon in the different state. And so, like carrying guns. And they say they are gunners. How can the pastor be prophesying to his life and say he's a gunner? He's gone. So you see why you should pray for your pastor. That they deliver them. That they are delivered. You know, he's going, he's gone. So you pray that they come back. They wander back to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. What do you have in the sheepfold? The sky. Hallelujah. The sky becomes a metaphor. Or becomes a figure of speech for what in the spirit. You see that? So when you hear Manchester, you hear Ghana, and you hear Chelsea, they are symbols. When you hear Manchester, he is still with the devil.
He needs to come out. So when he comes out into the light, in the spirit, Chelsea, when he begins to walk, when he's not walking in love, you know what it means? He's not walking in love. When he begins to lie, he begins to steal, he begins to gamble, he begins to play pier, he begins to drink, he begins to smoke, he's walking in the flesh. What is happening? He's a goner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was figures of speech. Hallelujah. So pray that they come back to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What is healing? Healing means to do what? How it's supposed to be. How it's supposed to be. Man in Christ. Man in the spirit. Satisfied with what Chelsea. Did you see that? Come on here. Come on here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 2, Jesus was in the wedding. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It wasn't a wedding feast. And in the wedding ceremony, he turned water to wine. Hallelujah. John 2:1. Verse 2. And the mother said to him in verse 3, they have no wine. They have no wine. Oh. Hallelujah. They have no wine. And what did he do? He turned water to wine. Where did he turn it? You need to see how John is writing. Look at Jesus. Remember I told you Jesus' miracles are deliberate. Right? Look at what John is writing. John said Jesus was in the wedding. And in that wedding he turned water to wine. Follow me here. Because what? They had no wine. Are you following me? Showing that in the marriage, he was in a marriage, a joining. What is marriage? A joining, right? A joining. So he stayed in that marriage and then he did what? He told what happened what? To show you that in the marriage, what we have is what? The spirit. Are you following that? These things were deliberate. In the marriage, God and man, what you would have, what man will receive is the spirit. So what we celebrate, what would we celebrate will be the new wine. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And this is the wine for spirit. Glory to God. Are you following that? Are you following that? So the wine will be the spirit. So when he says in verse 4, when the mother said to him in verse 3, he said they have no wine. That is humanity. Humanity is without the spirit. And in the wedding, right, in the union, man will have the new wine. So he said to the mother, he said, my hour has not come. Well, this is the word my hour. He wasn't referring to hour or time for miracle. No. No. Hallelujah. We're not talking about time for miracle. We're not talking about a specific hour like it's false or no. Are you following me? We're talking about the time of a time for miracle. No. He says because he went ahead to do the miracle to show you that we're not talking about what miracle. He has said, my hour has not come, so your mother made you disobey. No! Are you following me? Say, glory to God. Glory to God. We're talking about hour for miracle. But he said, when he uses the word my hour, he uses that word I again in chapter 4, verse 21 to 23. When he speaks to the woman by the well. Verse 21. Chapter 4, 21. We have to come here shortly. Chapter 4, verse 21. If you dare read, he said, Jesus said to her, believe me, the hour is coming where you will never worship, where you neither on this mountain, nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, is of the Jews, means it's from Jews. Are you following me? Hallelujah. That is, the Messiah will come from the word descendant of the Jews. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is where the true worshipper who worship the Father is with and the truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Are you following me? So he uses the word hour for worship. Hour for worship. In chapter 5, verses 25 and 28.
He says, what did I say to you? The hour is coming, and now it is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live.
He's talking about the resurrection.
28, he said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. He's talking about his work in salvation.
Are you following me?
In chapter 12, verse 23, John 12, 23, his hour. What is his hour? My hour, what does it mean? Look at verse 23. It says, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That word should be glorified means the hour has come for him to show his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I said to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground. He was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Can you see that in the next verse? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Look at 27. He said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. He's talking about the hour of his crucifixion. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Chapter 13 verse 1. Now therefore, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. When he talks about the hour, you're talking about the hour for his work in salvation, his death, burial, and resurrection. Did you see that? Chapter 16 verse 4. John 16, 4, quickly, he said, but these things I've told you, that the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Hallelujah, that's what time, when the time comes, what is the time? You see that? And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. What's referring to the resurrection? The time comes, that is the hour comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word hour is used for his work in salvation, referencing the resurrection. It is the same thing with his day. His day. We'll see that next week. Jesus' day. His day. Hallelujah. They point to resurrection fast. When he said, my hour is not yet come. And he was saying that to the mother. He said, my hour for the resurrection. When man will receive the new wine, he's not yet come. Are you following me? But when it was time, he said, my hour is come. It's close. Right? The hour when he will be your part. Are you following me? Glory to God. Back to John 2. Are you following the sequence of how I'm teaching you? Hallelujah. Back to John 2. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So when he says my eye is not yet God, he speaks of the fact that in his eye, he speaks of the fact that in his eye, it's based on the fact that his hour for the new wine has not yet come. That is the resurrection, right? Hallelujah. So the hour is not about miracles. No. Because he went ahead to do the miracles. Showing you that the hour is not for miracles. But that man should have the new wine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following that? That's chapter 2. He's now, John now writes for you to now see him again in verse 16. You know, he shows you the marriage. Right? He shows you the marriage. Man will have the new wine. Hallelujah. And the next thing you find him is in the temple in verse 16. He goes into the temple. And what were they doing? They were selling, making merchandise, and he scattered all their tables. You know, Jesus whipped them. Jesus didn't whip anybody. He scattered their tables. Hallelujah. He scattered their tables. And he said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And the next verse, something I needed to say in verses 19. He then says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up. Ah, he was in the temple. That was a strong statement. Remember, he wanted to talk about the marriage, what we will receive in the marriage. He went into a marriage. How Jesus did his miracles deliberately. He says what he says deliberately. He goes into the marriage feast where they were dancing and there was no wine. And he says, my hour is not yet come. And then he did the miracle of water to wine, showing you that in that marriage, in his marriage,
Right? Man will receive the Spirit. Now he goes into the temple and says, destroy this temple! You may be a Jew. You know how the Jews value today? This guy nuts. You know what they said to him in verse 18? They said, are you nuts? How old are you? You didn't even have to 65. You see that? Are you okay? They destroy this temple! And I'll build it up in 3 days. And do you like? Look at the response. I mean, sorry, it's verse 20. And he said to you, it takes 246 years to build this temple. And you raised it up in 3 days? They missed it. Remember, Jesus didn't say, I will destroy this temple. No. He says, you destroy the temple. But they treated it. You know, when they wanted to kill him. When they wanted to, you know, every angle they used in killing him or in nailing him to the cross was all a lie, was a conspiracy. Hope you know that. Right? The conspirator and said he would destroy the temple. Because they knew how the Jews value the temple. Did you get that? Well, he didn't say that. Shake and say. He said, destroy the temple. That is referring to that. And I said, you're not even... It took our fathers 46 years to build the temple. You're not even up to 46. And he said, you did it in 3 days. Are you okay? Did you get it? And he said, see. Verse 21, look at what John now wrote. John knew this fact at the resurrection, but let's just wait. Let's read John. Let's accept John the way he has to send it. He says, but he was speaking of the temple of what? His body. So he gave him the temple. Remember, to show you that when Moses spoke about the temple, or gave them a tabernacle, he was giving them a tabernacle to point to what? Christ. Are you following me? You remember John in John 1:14 say, and we beheld, and the word became flesh and tabernacle, that is Moses tabernacle. Are you following me? And tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Glory to God. Now he walks into that temple, knowing that he is the temple. Do you get me? And he says, destroy this temple! To show you that what they had as temple was just a bridge. It was just building bridge. God never dwelt there. God doesn't dwell in what? In temples made with the hand. God doesn't dwell in dangotic men. Keep yourself brain small. Hallelujah. Say glory to God. Amen. 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 Are you following me? Come on, yeah. So, we find to the temple of his body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 22. Therefore, when he had arisen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word of God and the word which Jesus said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up, he was talking about what? His resurrection. You see that? So he was talking about the resurrection. So he was teaching the resurrection. So he wasn't speaking about physical temple. Hallelujah. They missed him there. He was talking about himself in the resurrection. And John needed to put the two together. So when you get back to verse 2 to verse 8, man will have the new one. Right? Right? Man will have the new one. So in the resurrection, man will have the new one. So that marriage is the resurrection. Did you see that? That marriage, which is man and God, will be the resurrection. What will happen? The new one. Are you following me? I want you to see how we write. Then go back. That will lead you to back to chapter 1. Did you see how we are going? We'll take you back to chapter 1. Because we're supposed to read everything together. So when it takes you back to chapter 1, verse 46. Look at verse 46. It says, and Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to them, come and see. Said to him, come and see. Now, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. In whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And yet this should have been the Israelite's food. How do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you. Did you see that? You're speaking. Word of knowledge, right? I saw him. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Did you see? And Jesus said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Word of knowledge. You believe.
you will see greater things than this.
Is that? But he said you will see greater things than this.
Don't take it too far.
He's not saying you see more miracles, you see one more. No. He said you see greater things than this. Greater things than this that will cause you to believe. Now, he believed because of what? A word of knowledge. Right? But he said you see greater things than this. Now, the greater thing he's talking about is what? The resurrection. So when you see the resurrection, you will yet believe. Did you see that? And how do you know? Look at the next verse 51. And he said to them, most assuredly I said to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That will be the resurrection. That will be the basis of our belief. That's what he tells Nathanael. That will be the basis of our belief. The resurrection. Are you following me? Did you see how we linked chapter 2 back to chapter 1? Right? That will be the basis of our belief. Resurrection. And where was he reading from? He was reading from Genesis chapter 28 verse 12. He was writing from where? Jacob's vision. Hallelujah. And how we call the place Bethel. We'll see that shortly tomorrow. Next week. I think tomorrow. Hallelujah. So what Jacob saw in Genesis 28 was the resurrection. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Amen. So let's move a chapter forward. John chapter 3. Are you following me? Come on. Are you with me? John 3. It says, Nicodemus came to me, to him, and he said to him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus asked, how can one be born again? Will he have to enter the mother's womb the second time and be born? And Jesus began to explain what it means to be what? Born again. Hallelujah. So, what does it call to be born again? Verse 5. He says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit. He's not talking about water baptism. He says, unless you are born of water, is the word water, kai, pneuma. So, that word kai is the word that means water that is spirit. So the third one is born of water that is the spirit. Are you following me? Come on here. Are you following me? So it's talking about to be born again, so it's to be born of the spirit. Look at verse 6. You know, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Meaning to be born again is to be born of the spirit. But say, we do not forget that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound thereof, but can't tell where it cometh and where it goes. So is it that is born of the spirit. So Jesus is explaining what to be born again, it means to be born of the Spirit. In verse 10, the God was saying, whoa, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, are you a teacher of Israel? Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? What shall I say to you? We speak what we know and testify what we've seen and you do not believe our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? That see, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hallelujah. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that what? He will die. That means, for there to be the resurrection, there must be a death. Are you following me? For there to be a resurrection, there must be a death first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah! For there to be a resurrection, there must be a death first. And verse 15. Now it says, and whosoever believes in him. Believes in him, what does it mean? In the resurrection, right? Come on here. Is it the resurrection? Whosoever believes in him. Is that what we'll be reading from chapter 1, verse 49, 50, 51? You know, chapter 2, the marriage. Is that what we'll read into chapter 2, verse 21 to 22? Right? The temple, right? Come on here. Now it says, verse 15, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 16, for God so loved the world he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. Hallelujah. So our role is to be born again. And to be born again, it calls you to be born of the Spirit, to believe. So to be born, I will be born of the Spirit when I believe. Are you following that? That is the sequence. Are you following me? Hallelujah. When I believe in the resurrection. And now, listen, he calls it to be born of the Spirit. Now it interchanges. Now that when I believe,
I would have eternal life. So interchange the Spirit with what? Life. Remember, I said to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. To have the Spirit in verse 8. Right? To be born of the Spirit, to have the Spirit. He now says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He changes it. So that means there is no difference between the Spirit and life. And eternal life. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, John makes you see that the Spirit is the eternal life. And he owns the way. Eternal life. So the fact of the resurrection is the Spirit indwelling. Is the fact of the resurrection believer's reality? Is that the believer's reality? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's get to John 1:16. John 1:16. We're going back to John. It says, and of his fullness we have received grace for grace. When it says fullness, I don't know who loves that word. Of his fullness. I didn't have the half spirit, I have full spirit. Come on here. Hallelujah. Of his fullness. But isn't the word fullness? Fullness here is referring to the Spirit. Are you hearing me? Of his fullness, I will receive. Glory to God. That word receive is the word lambano. Glory to God. So what we receive is God's fullness, and that word will lamp. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say of his fullness, I will receive. So, when you use the word fullness, it's referring to the Spirit. So the fullness, they have nothing to do with comparing fullness with half. No. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I said it's something a bit crazy. Yes, but they know we don't have half spirit. We have the complete Spirit of God. Is there anything like incomplete Spirit of God? You receive some part and then some other part. Come on. I got the complete Spirit of God. I don't want to say the other part so that you don't think I'm attacking someone. Hallelujah. Say I got the complete Spirit of God. That means you have half. You know, in the old days, in the Old Testament, you used to have half Spirit of God. So what they have is not complete. They have half. Half. What they have is the Spirit of the Lord. They only have the Spirit of the Lord. They only have the Spirit of the Lord. Solomon has, I've taught it so that I'm criticizing myself. Now, Solomon has the spirit of wisdom, doesn't have the spirit of might. He let it go. He don't have big man saying nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen. Who again? Something has the spirit of might, but does not have the spirit of wisdom. That is why a woman has to cut his hair. Come on here. Give yourself a brain. Give yourself a big knock. That's not my own self. Amen. He says, for we have the complete Spirit of God. He said, we have the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of... Come on! Look at yourself. Look at your big score. So count it. It's seven. Seven means complete. Is there anything like half? You know, where that doctrine falls into the ground or falls to the ground is when you now begin to discover that in the Old Testament they never received the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So that means everything you are saying just falls to the ground. They didn't receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God never endured any man until the resurrection. So what did they receive? David had the Spirit of God. What Spirit? You see yourself? You're missing it now. Say it comes and goes. It comes inside and goes later. Come on. Come on. You think it's Asma that can win? That can have seven consecutive wins? Amen. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, let's look at our Bible. So, glory to God. So, you think so. People think so, and they say, the Spirit of God, we have it in full. Some people don't have it in full, no. Hallelujah. Some people have it incomplete. In the Old Testament, no. They never have it in the Old
before nobody ever had the Spirit of God in him before the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Before the resurrection. So the resurrection is the access of God's Spirit into man. That believes. Hallelujah. That is the access. Glory to God. So some people now quote John 3:34. Let's quickly watch to John 3:34. I want to quickly just want to debunk something now. John 3:33-34. I want to, in debunking what this thing now, I want to actually take on a position of, I'm debunking it and then I am, it's a debunk and yet it's a defense. It's a defense for what Kenneth Hagin said years back, that I read years back. And debunking what some other people said later on. Verse 34. Somebody, you get to understand what I'm doing years to come. 34. It says, for whom God has sent, speaks his word, who speak the word of God, for God does not give his spirit by measure.
You know, some people think it's just only Jesus. Someone has said that it's only Jesus that has the Spirit of God in full. That every other person has the Spirit of God in measure.
What you are saying is, you have to look at what Jesus is speaking, or what John is talking about here. Hallelujah. John isn't talking about, look at what John is saying.
Let's see now. That's what John is saying. When he uses the word measure, that's the word that is used. Now, first of all, what he's talking about in verse 34, we read from 30 into 34. When he gets to 34, he was referring for Christ. He was referring to Christ. Hallelujah. So he said, who the Lord sent to speak the word and does not give his spirit in measure, talking about Jesus in his service. Hallelujah. Now, when he uses the word measure, will be found in our ministry. He doesn't give it in measure, referring to ministry gifts. All the while that word measure is used in the epistle is used for ministry gifts. Hallelujah. We do not have fullness in the ministry gift. No. We have a metron gift. Are you following me? And that's what Kenneth Hagin was talking about in his book, The Gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The book I read years back. Glory to God. Years back. And what Kenneth Hagin was referring to in that book was, when he began talking about ministry gifts, that was when he then spoke about metron. I was referring to that Jesus had the Spirit in full, that Jesus is the first to have the Spirit in full and the only one. And when he was talking about it, was referring, he was teaching what ministry gifts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So find the fullness in Christ. And sometimes, we find the fullness of the ministry gift in Christ, and we have the mission. Just very simple. Hallelujah. So don't get twisted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's just retract what we've been saying. That the instruction we have seen is to do what? Believe, right? John 3:16, right? John 1:49. Is that what we've been saying? To believe, right? Right? So we believe. And when we believe, that is being born again, and we have access, or we have the Spirit of God, which is called life. Is that what we've been saying? John 1:3. Now let's go to John 4. The woman at the well. In verse 10, Jesus spoke to her and said, I will give you living water. He calls it living water. And in verse 13 to 14, it says this water will spring up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. He calls it living water. What has Jesus called water before now? Go back. He called water spirit. John 3:5. So he now calls it living water. He said he leads toward eternal life. So did you see that? So he uses again water and brings in life. Hallelujah. So he uses life and spirit again interchangeably. Hallelujah. And what do we have as instruction in John 4? Let's see the instruction in John 4. That instruction in verse 10. It says, if you know the gift of God, he says you will do what? And he will speak to you. He says you will ask, right? Right? Are you reading that? He says you will ask him and he will give you living water. That is verse 10. You would ask. That is the word ask. Ask. The word ask is not to kneel down and pray. Oh God, I want to ask. No, that word ask is a word that is used for what? Believe. The word used for believe. Let's see that quickly. Let's check that out quickly. That word ask. In Matthew 7:7, Matthew 7:7. Come on. There's a fast here. Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and you will be given you. Say, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. So the word ask, seek, and knock are the same. How you follow this? Hallelujah. Verse 10. Verse 9. Or what man is there among you? If the son asks for bread and he gives him stone. Or if he asks for fish and he gives him serpent. If you, being good, that means you, if you then, being evil, know how to give good deeds to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Come on, you're still asking, right? Let's see how Luke now renders that. The same thing in Luke chapter 11. Let's see Luke 11. Luke 11. Come on, yeah. Luke 11, are you there? Verses 9. He says, so I said to you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Remember I said they are used interchangeably, right? He says, for everyone who asks receive, anyone who seeks and anyone who knocks it will be opened. If the son asks for bread from his father among you, will he give him stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him serpent instead of fish? He says, verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, come on here, egg, will he offer him scorpion? If you then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost? Did you see that? To them who ask. Did you see that? Holy Ghost. So that means that ask, that seek, that knock is what's concerning the Spirit. He said he will give when you ask, seek, knock. So what does John call it in John 1, John 2, John 3? Believe. Are you following? Come on here. Are you seeing? Are you following that? So the ask there is to believe. Are you following me? The word to ask, to seek, to knock is to believe. And when a man believes, he receives the Holy Ghost. That is the new one. That is the new birth. That is being born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So the asking is to, the asking is to believe so as to receive the Spirit. Look at, right, following, that's John 5. I mean John 4, right? Come on here. John 4. We've read John 5, right? John 6, 51. John 6, 51. A bit more clumsy as we begin to round up. I'll round up and we'll continue next week. I just have to round it up. We are still looking at new creation reality. A whole lot for us to see, right? Are you seeing that? A whole lot for us to see. Come on here. Are you a believer? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Okay. So because you believe, do you have life? Come on. Do you have life? Do you have the Spirit? Are they the same? No, it's God. So I have the Spirit of God. Let's see something. Let's see something else. John 6. Let's look to one. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If you eat of this bread, you will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Imagine you say this and you open your mouth and say, eat your flesh. How many of you, even if I tell you that the blood, that my blood is life, and I cut my dad and say, lick my bread, will you leave? So, come on. My bread, I give you that. You have to have my bread. I have to bite my own part of your flesh. Yeah, I have life. Yeah, are you a Dracula? That's not what he's talking about. So he calls himself the living bread for them to eat. For them to eat. So when he says eat, what comes to your mind? Go back, not to realize that you're reading context. Go back to verse 41. The Jews then complained and said to him, and said about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the father and the mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? That is their problem. How can he say, I'm going to ask? This is not my mom here to say. Hallelujah. How is it that he came down from heaven? Maybe, is this not sin? Is the son of Basco? The guy that I know. Yes, me, I have served in God. Can you say, came from heaven? You know what I'm saying? Is this how people that come from heaven look like? They are from that?
the heaven is sun, so they have sun in heaven.
Ah, no, this is good.
Heaven, you came for heaven. So this, I don't know, I like punk, I don't like this echo. Can you see your life? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You say, my name is Kobe. I'm from heaven. Mama. No, Mama could be near. Mama could be. Mama could be. Come on now. You know Mama could be. You know Mama could be. And if you see, this Mama could be. You know now. You know Mama could be. Let me tell you. Mama could be. And you say he came from heaven. Shut up. If this is how things are going to look like. No chain. No bling. Just walk and stand on top of shoe and stocking. Heaven. Is not wearing white.
Bristling beard.
And bling. Heaven. No. See, yes. That was their problem. But you know they missed it. Go away, they go. Because he's from heaven. See the back of from heaven. You can stand from heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you know you can say that concerning yourself? Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a song. Heaven, just like heaven on earth. I think it's heaven on earth. Where is it? Just like heaven. You are the one. You are heaven on earth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I have heaven on earth.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Is that one? Is that one? Is it Zion? Zion, brother. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Zion. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I saw a picture on the post yesterday, but I didn't post. I always just message because it links to what I want to teach today. But rather than posting the video, it's a picture of some of us and I wrote, out of Zion, the perfection of this God. Hallelujah. I'm going to post it. The perfection of this God has shined. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God has shined. This is from Zion. Glory to God. You know, you say with them sense of, this is where I'm from. I'm from Zion. I'm the beautiful citizen from the beloved nation. I'm from Zion. Are you hearing me? Start from Zion.
I'm
heaven on earth. Never let anybody make you feel down. I'm heaven on earth! How many of you say, how many people say that? Do you have Rolls Royce? Do you have life? Look at your heaven. Your heaven is Rolls Royce. What about that?
See, because the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
That's what they mean.
So verse 43. Jesus doesn't answer to them.
Do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from me, the Father comes to me. No one has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has what? Come on, look at it. He who believes in me has what? Has everlasting life. Did you see that? He says, I am the bread of life. So when he says, eat, he has told you before, believe. So the eat will mean to believe, to accept. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. He's not saying you bring out your teeth like Dracula. He said, accept. Believe! But I am the bread of life. He who eats in me, he who believes in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says believe. So eat implies to believe in context. And what will happen?
he will have everlasting life.
Look at verse 53.
And he says to them, I said to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of God. So let's change it. Let's use the word believe now. Right? Right? He said to them, unless you believe. Right? Right? The flesh of the Son of Man and drink to be believed. Right? And believe his blood, you have no life in you. You see that? Hallelujah. 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Believe, right? And I'll raise him up on the last day. Let's jump to 63. You can read all that to yourself. See, my flesh is food indeed and my blood is drink indeed. Now verse 63, as we begin to close. 63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. Say, the flesh profit nothing. The word I speak to you, all what I've been saying, I'm talking concerning the Spirit. You see? And Jesus is life. Are you following me? I'm talking about the Spirit. So, everything he's addressing, he's discussing, is the Spirit. In John 7, the last day, the great day of the feast, he stands and shouts. Verse 37, he says, if anyone dares, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, oh King, is out of his belly, who flow in the mouth of living water. So you see people in school who are not fasting, they're having big tummy because they're answering daddy. Daddy, mommy, in school. In school, you've not paid your school fees, you are daddy.
Papa,
you are papa in the school. You have not paid your school fees for one semester. I'm a papa. You're a papa.
Interesting. Papa of what?
Papa TV.
Hallelujah. You're a papa. There's a word of position in school. Suppose that I'm a mama. What is the office of a mama? They've been cooking food. They've been cooking food so that the papa will eat. In school. In school. And you see their stomach like photo and say, emoji and like it on a graph of my bed in a flow.
You're not fasting. You are fasting, you will be like Pastor Wisdom.
No fasting.
Your stomach shooting out. Oh God, drop the weight.
Hallelujah. I'm a papa. And that's somebody that is old enough to be their father. They papa, sir. And he said, being papa, not in this scripture, not praying. You're being papa, I'm a papa. You now come and be giving us someone, you know? When I was, I have no carryover. Like the work of a papa. So, hallelujah. This big stomach, you see them big stomach. In fact, they don't really enter school, but they have no stomach. When they were in third, when they got to third, they now made them papa. Within one semester, that stomach is becoming big as the man of God and long. You know that I learned that beginning of years of crypto nonsense. The world is looking good on you. You know, have you not heard that kind of thing? Emoji, the world looks good on you.
The world.
They are saying your stomach is big. They look like, oh.
You're always blessed in his presence. Oh, thank you.
He said, sir, I know what I see. You know, so how one guy, one brother, out of my belly, shall flow you out of living water. And we will now decide, we'll say, I want to drop. What are you trying? You are trying beans and fish. Gary,
thank you.
Okay, let's look. So it says, where were we? Out of his belly, right? So we're not referring to physical belly, no? So now says verse 38, he who believes in me, says, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this is spoke concerning the what?
Spirit.
Who them who, whom those believing in him would receive. Did you see that? For the spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Did you see that? So when are we going to receive the spirit? When Jesus is glorified in the resurrection. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John 8:12. We'll see this next week. He now calls John 8:12. He now changes the narrative. John 8:12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He said, he who follows me, will that be believed? Come on. He who believes, right? Shall not walk in darkness. But shall do what? Have what? Life. Shall have the light of life. Shall have the light of life. Now, this is what I need you to see. He now changes the narrative. Remember, he calls spirit life, right? Right? Now he's calling spirit, that is life, he's calling it light. Isn't that? Come on, are you following that? He calls spirit life, he calls spirit light. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, he who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Come on, let's put that into John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That was it, shall have the light of life. Come on, hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? So that was life. And it makes you see that before now. In chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and God was the Word. It says, was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was anything made that is made. It says, in him is life, and this life is the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he calls the spirit life, and he refers to the spirit as light. Glory to God. I need you to see this. So the child of God has light. I have the spirit. So the spirit is what? Light. The spirit is light. There's something I will show you in the course of this teaching concerning forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness of sins is not, I don't want to say it plain like that because it will be cliche. So I will teach you through. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember we still have a teaching on forgiveness of sins this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Let's jump down to chapter 14 as we close. As we close. I just want to show you something in chapter 14, but we'll treat all that next week. Remember, we stopped at chapter 8. Right? So we'll continue like that into chapter 17. Let's get to chapter 14 as we close. I'll just take verses 15 for you. 14 into 15. Oh, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What is the commandment? Go back. He said you have read verse 1. What is verse 1? In fact, this commandment is from chapter 13. So you read the commandment from 13. We'll yet to read it maybe as we get into the third week of this teaching. Hallelujah. Read the commandment or truth. As we read this, we'll read the commandment. Hallelujah. We'll see everything together. Is the same thing? Now, we need you to have seen chapter 14 verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God, believe in me also. That is, the believing God isn't believing in Christ. Hallelujah. He don't say he believes God and not believing in him. No. That word and is used for what? To explain. So the believing God is believing in Christ. Hallelujah. That is the commandment. Say, if you love me, you will keep my command. That is the command to believe. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay. To believe. He says, when you do that, what will happen? I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Hey, what is he called? What does he call the comforter? The Spirit. Hallelujah. So when I believe,
What I have is the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And how long will the Spirit stay? 2 days? 1 hour? 4 days? 5 days? What does the scripture say in verse 16? How long will it stay with you?
Forever.
Did you see forever then? I said forever? I thought you're going to see for 12 calendar months alone. Is that forever there? So how long will you have the Spirit? Did you see it's going to come and go and go and come? Did you see when you tell? I really need to say it. Do you see if you do something wrong, he's going to go? Did you see that? He said he's going to stay how long? Did you see that? He abides in you how long? 2 days? 4 days? Only when I tell the truth? He stays with me how?
Forever.
The Spirit of God stays in us for? Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So the Spirit stays forever. Amen. Amen. So I have the Spirit of God forever. I have the Spirit of God forever. Come on, look at verse 20 quickly. Verse 20. He said, in that day, come on, what have we been reading? Believe, resurrection, right? So that day will be that hour, right? Right? Will it be resurrection? So in the resurrection, you will know what? I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Come on, yeah. Let's do it together. You in me and I in you, 26. Come on, 33. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My word will be what? To believe. Right? Why? What is this word? Is it to believe? Is it the commandment? Is it what the command? Is it what to believe? Is the word to ask, to speak, to knock? Come on. Is it the same thing? Come on. Let's move. He now says, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and will come and make our home with him. So that means the Spirit of God in us is God in us. Are you following me? The Spirit of God in us is the union of the Son and the Father in us. Hallelujah. We'll see this from next week again. Glory to God. So how long will God stay in us? How long will he stay in us? So say, I have the Spirit of God forever. No matter what I say, I do, I have the Spirit of God forever. Hallelujah! Say, I have the Spirit of God forever. You must get into this week. You are going to be conscious of it. You are going to know of anything that happens. Hallelujah! Guilt will come. You know, sometimes when people feel guilt and say, I don't think the Spirit of God is in me. No! Hallelujah! He will abide in you for... Is there a condition or a clause? There's no condition. There's no clause. The Spirit of God is not forever. Let's go to our Peter to thank him. Oh, just thank him. Hallelujah. So, that Spirit of God is not forever. Is it life forever? Right? Right? Is it life forever? Is it life forever?
Yes,
that means I have life forever. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. I have the Spirit of God forever. I have the Spirit of God forever. Oh, hallelujah. So the indwelling is forever. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just thank you. Just thank you.